This podcast will have spoilers for most of the movies we talk about. So if you didn't see any movies this year, then probably you shouldn't listen to it. Enjoy.
What if I'm cruel and unusual?
Hello, and welcome to episode 58 of the Legendary Frogcast. I'm your host, Joseph Blanchett, and this is our Nerdy Movie of 2011 podcast. So we got a bunch of nerds here.
I'm not a nerd.
You're the biggest nerd, Richard Farrow.
Howdy, guys.
Yep.
What's up?
And Dustin Watts, usually I introduce you first, but since Richard interrupted you, he's the biggest nerd, and Dustin's not.
Dude, I'm probably the... How many of y'all have Linux on your computer right now?
That's not nerdy, that's just hipster.
how many of you used it?
The voice of cool there is Randy Keepers.
Because I'm the voice of cool.
Yeah. He's not with us is Kevin Brown, a.k.a. Railith. He's been kind of a tradition on these movie podcasts. But he never really responded like when he wanted to do this, and I didn't want to delay this and possibly not do it. So, like
Jack Sparrow, he was never one for tradition.
Yep, so let's raise our glass or pour one for the lost homies or whatever. So... Yep. But this is our fourth Nerdy Movie podcast.
Wait, did we introduce everyone?
Yes, jeez. Remember, we haven't released
there's
it
not
yet,
that many,
but did our,
there's not that many people to introduce, Dustin.
During our alien podcast, Dustin completely forgot, didn't realize he did a podcast with Mark like the week before. We haven't released that one yet, but...
You guys did an... Okay, you know what? I need to start being part of these
commentary
episodes, because I'm never on these things now, and I really want to, so...
It's because, like, I think they're best with, like, three people.
And Mark's are.
And, like, Mark is usually the one who wants to be on these things. But we'll try to get... Well, either of you, if you want to be on one.
Well, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
All right.
The podcast is just, off the rails. But yeah, this is our Nerdy Podcast 2011. These have gone really off track in the past, so I tried to be really selective with what movies we're talking about, but this list is still pretty long. And I'm organizing this with Google Docs, so hopefully this is a little bit better. Google Docs. So we're going to start in a chronological order here. I didn't have the months they came out in, but that's fine. So I put, The Green Hornet I have on here, but I didn't see it. I heard it was pretty good.
I literally fell asleep halfway through it. It is, oh God, Seth Rogen should not, why does he keep getting work?
He gets work because he's legitimately funny, Dustin.
But Green Hornet... What happened to this movie?
Explain the movie. The movie is a guy is a jerk. He finds out that he shouldn't be such a jerk, and he fills his father's footsteps as a vigilante. That's about the gist of it. Because, like, honestly, it's really good. Like, Seth Rogen, he's a great actor. I mean, the dude lost, like, 60 pounds to even get the role.
That's pretty impressive.
Ask me. So, like, honestly... The Green Hornet was funny. It had a lot of good action to it. Yeah, okay, some parts didn't really make sense, but it didn't have to. It's a movie that's based on a radio series and an old TV series that's as old as some of our parents. So
older.
I thoroughly enjoyed the movie, but
it's probably okay. But I didn't have interest to see it.
I didn't see it, so I can't really judge. I mean, personally, I've always felt that Seth Rogen is a better comedy actor than a drama actor.
I don't think he's for drama.
I don't really think that, you know, I can't really see him taking a drama role seriously, which is why I never really took interest in The Green Hornet, because it felt like it was always going to try to be more of a dramatic story than a comedy story.
Oh, it's a lot more comedy than drama.
The trailer didn't even make it out to be a drama, but it's probably okay. Maybe I'll see it one day.
I'm sorry. It just I'm gonna have to give it a pass personally.
I put the mechanic on this list because of Kevin, but he's up here.
Jason Statham.
Yep.
Is Jason Statham
as a mechanic? I have no idea what this movie's about. I assume he kills people with cars.
Yeah, he does.
Okay.
He's like the same person in every single movie. Literally. Every single movie.
Well, honestly, he plays himself. Like, he's the fast car driving, people shooting, mouth kicking guy. And so it's like, hey, Jason Statham, we need you to play Jason Statham in our film. Like, honestly.
Jason Statham, I'm great at playing him.
But honestly,
he's perfect. Jump
in my car.
He's the same character in all of his movies, but. You know, at the same time, you have to love him for it.
There's a rumor that Jason Statham is going to be the star of the next Transformers movie.
Oh, my God.
That might actually be watchable.
He can drive Optimus Prime despite he's a truck.
Well, I'm excited. I'm excited to see, like, him go hand-to-hand and kick the shit out of, like, a kick the crap out of a Decepticon.
This reminds me of because there was another Jason Statham movie that was released this year, and in it, it's like in the trailer it says based on a true story, and I can just think like, I bet the guy
based on a true story called Jason Statham.
The guy who's played by Jason Statham must be pretty happy by his personification.
So this I have no idea what this movie's good or not, but Jason Statham. All right. This is a movie that I saw a couple months ago. Well, about a month ago, Romeo and Juliet.
I didn't see it.
Has anyone seen this movie?
It's strangely cute. I liked it.
Yeah, it is actually not bad at all.
It's very strange for me to say that, but it honestly is almost like it's like a Disney-fied Romeo and Juliet. Honestly, it ends happily.
Yeah, it's so like it's just a good movie all around, and I think it got a lot of crap for no reason when it came out.
Because I guess people argued that I guess they thought it looked childish. I guess maybe that was the.
And quite, it is probably still not the worst adaptation of Romeo and Juliet.
No, it's actually pretty good. Patrick Stewart's in it.
Really.
Captain Laupakai. And has a duet with Elton John and Lady Gaga, so. I recommend it. Like, don't be put off by its seemingly badness, but it's actually pretty fun.
It's a fun movie, legitimately.
Yeah, it has a pretty cool art style, too. It's kind of hard to explain.
Reminds me of Toy Story.
I am number 4 in here, but I crossed it out because it's just a weird kind of sci-fi movie.
I saw it. I wasn't thoroughly impressed with it.
Yeah.
I saw 5 minutes of it and just was completely uninterested after
it. It was okay, but after I found out it was based on a young adult book series, it made a lot more sense to me.
Yeah.
Because it kind of has that rhythm to it and kind of characters that you expect from a novel, a book like that. Adjustment Bureau, it's a Philip K. Dick story.
Okay, anybody who's seen Fringe will totally think that the people in the Adjustment Bureau are like the Observers. It is ridiculous.
I didn't see this movie, but I heard it was good. It wasn't the action movie that the trailers kind of made it out to be.
Yeah, it's not.
But, you know, I'll give it a rent.
But it's good. It's not terrible, but it's something like, it's worth a shot, you know? It's one of those things like, some people may like it, some people may hate it, you know? It's one of those kinds of
things. I don't know if I'd call it one of our nerdy movies. Okay, so the first big movie I think we'll talk about is Rango.
I haven't seen this.
This movie
is an homage to all the old spaghetti westerns, and it is a fantastic animated film. In fact, I think it is benefiting from the fact that Pixar did very poorly this year with Cars 2. I think this is definitely a shoe-in for best animated picture.
Yeah, I think since Cars underwhelmed... I'm pretty sure this film is going to win Animated Picture of the Year. It's directed by Gore Verbinski, who directed the Pirates movies, like the first three. And it shows because it doesn't really play like an animated movie, you know? It's like really dirty. It's like the old West, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it really wasn't pandering to kids.
This wasn't really a kids movie at all.
Even though it was animated, it definitely did. Yeah, even though it wasn't animated, it didn't feel like an animated film.
Yeah.
Because when I was watching this in the theater, there were a whole bunch of kids there. Because I mean, this was a Nickelodeon movie, naturally there were
a lot of kids. Yeah, that's the weird part too, because it doesn't feel like a Nickelodeon movie.
Exactly. And then I'm sitting in this theater, and there's a lot of stuff that's going on, like. This really isn't for kids, and I'm just wondering, I feel that maybe it wasn't directed towards the right audience, but despite that, I still really like this movie.
This was an animated movie geared more towards the young adult, and like even the teenager market, I think.
Well, honestly, that's the way Nickelodeon's been going anyhow.
Yeah.
Like, it really doesn't have very many children's things.
It's just kind of weird because I watched... told this story before, like I neglected my Netflix queue and the SpongeBob SquarePants movie came in Netflix. That's at the very start, it goes Nickelodeon movies, and then to think like Rango is like the same thing is just kind of weird because they're just so different. Also worth noting that this film was made by Industrial Light and Magic. Like they just... Like, that was the studio that animated this movie. It was Industrial Light and Magic. It was their first full-length feature film.
And that was very impressive special effects. I think, the animation was flawless.
Yeah.
And just the style was a little rough around the edges. Like, I mean, it was cool, like, the way it looked.
Yeah, it wasn't colorful. It was gritty and dirty and dusty. The voice acting was good and all that stuff, so, I recommend it. I don't expect a happy, upbeat kids flick.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
Okay. One of my first disappointing movies of the year is Battle L.A.
You thought so? I felt as though it was...
It was fine. It was okay. But I think I was expecting a lot with this movie, and it just turned out to be... Just average all around.
Well, maybe that was your thing. Maybe you kind of expected a lot. I came into the movie theater with no expectations. I just expected a lot of guns blazing and, aliens pew, blowing pew, up. Pew.
Well, because it had a really cool trailer. I guess that was what got me. And, like, what I did like about it is it was a more realistic approach, like, military approach to an alien invasion.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, it just kind of lacks some of the sci-fi-ness that I like with, these type of movies.
Yeah.
I didn't think the aliens were that strong, even though I did like that they weren't just, like, big monsters, basically. They were just kind of, like, this weird humanoid, almost like squid people. And, like, you can tell, may not notice this, but they were actually like their bodies were actually like mechanical machines because they were just like heads with like tentacles basically, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I like the balloon heads. It was very distinct.
Yeah, and overall, is this kind of forgettable?
Yeah, I gotta say, half the lines in this movie, I don't know how these actors were saying them with a straight face.
Really?
Yeah, I felt like the action scenes were great, but the moment you started bringing out actual dialogue and trying to develop these characters, it just got kind of pathetic.
Yeah, it seems like half the action... Well, I don't really recall the dialogue, but it seems like half the action in this movie, it didn't matter that it was aliens,
Yeah.
And I guess
it could have been insurgents.
That's what kind of disappointed me. Like, when they did have, like, the little spaceship parts, that was... kind of sci-fi, but it could have just been a tactical drone, for all the... I actually think Skyline, which is a movie we didn't talk about last podcast, but Skyline was a better sci-fi movie than this.
Really?
Yeah. Sure. Because, it had a bunch of alien stuff, had big giant alien monsters, had giant spaceships. The movie may not have been great, but I don't know, it just kind of hit me in a better way, I guess.
Yeah. But, okay, so what's
Randy,
what's
that? Any opinions on that? Randy, you there?
Hello?
I am here.
Okay, moving on. I put this one on for Raelith, because he probably has something to say, but a sequel to Big Mama's House. I think it might be the third movie.
fourth, I think.
Really? Nothing to say about it. Let's go on.
I mean, God, why?
They still make movies like this.
Where were we?
Surprised.
Tyler Perry. At,
Big Mama's House 4 or 5.
Oh, this ain't Tyler Perry. No, don't put this in Tyler Perry's fault. This is not. This is all Martin Lawrence.
This isn't a sequel to Big Mama's House? Thought it was.
Yeah. I thought it was. That was my assumption.
Tyler Perry does not do Big Mama. That's Martin Lawrence.
What the heck is this movie? I don't know. I don't care. Moving on. I put Paul here. But I didn't see it.
I love Paul.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen one.
Yeah.
No.
With an alien.
Well, yes, it's Paul's voiced by Seth Rogen, but like, it's Simon Pegg
and
dude, Rob. What was in the movie with him?
And what's his name?
I don't know. British guy.
Nick Frost and Simon Pegg.
Yeah, Nick Frost. Yeah. This could have been like the third installment of the Blood and Ice Cream trilogy for all I care.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah, but like, didn't this like turn into a stoner comedy with aliens though?
No,
that doesn't really seem like it's that style, you know.
No, it's not.
Yeah. So
like, there is jokes about weed and stuff like that in it, but it's brought about by Paul, the alien. But like, long story short, it's, you know, he's just trying to get home.
ET phone.
So it's like ET plus
shenanigans. That's really it.
I'll give it a watch sometime.
But there was already shenanigans in ET.
Well, more so shenanigans.
Yeah, but in Paul, the alien is supposed to be CG.
He is.
Yeah, that was kind of an ET joke.
Yep.
Well, speaking of ET, I heard for the Blu-ray that Steven Spielberg got rid of all the changes he made. He just released
what? The ones where he put the walkie-talkies in the place of the guns?
Yeah, like the walkie-talkies and the CG ET and all that. He got rid of that. He said it was a mistake, and he apologized.
I did a remake, and I decided to put AT-ATs in the background and replace all their guns with walkie-talkies. In other words, he pulled a George Lucas.
Hey, you're still you're talking over my lines, buddy.
His only lines ever in one of my old movies.
Seriously.
So this next movie was all style, almost no substance, and that is Sucker Punch.
Freaking love this movie.
That was a waste of $8.
This
was ridiculous.
Movie had great action scenes.
It did, but that was all there was.
Yeah.
If you're not watching this in the theater or on a large screen, it's not worth watching.
Here I am with a 65-inch TV, so I'm like,
it had great action. Special effects were pretty cool. Had cool fight scenes. The music was really good, I thought. But I thought just everything holding it together just was so disjointed that it was hard to really kind of care about the action scenes.
Yeah. It's like a sports car that looks really pretty on the outside, but once you get behind the wheel and start driving, it kind of doesn't handle well. You know what I mean?
It's like a Dodge Viper.
Yeah.
That's really it. Dude, Dodge Viper is like, with their stock equipment, they cannot hold on to a sidewalk. They do not handle well.
So this was directed by the guy who did 300 and Watchmen.
Zack Snyder.
Yeah, and it's not an adaptation. And he's back to doing adaptations. He's doing Superman, so.
Well, the thing is like, I appreciate that they went out and tried to take an original idea and turn it into something great. And, like, in my opinion, is great. Because, like, what frustrates me these days is that there are so many adaptations and sequels
and remakes
that are coming out. It almost feels like nobody has any creativity left anymore. So I personally liked Sucker Punch a lot because, to me, it felt like a completely original idea with an awful lot of visual awesomeness.
Yeah.
Not just saying the girls are pretty, talking about, like, you know, fighting dragons in this in like fighting robot Nazis and stuff. That's awesome.
I don't disagree, but like if this movie just had great middle sections, then I would have liked it a lot more. You know,
I like this part and I like that part, but I didn't like that part. The problem is that part's most of the movie.
The only part that really interested me was when they were fighting the steampunk Nazis. That was it. Everything else could have, I don't know, they could have all just been dancing around in tutus for all I care.
I put this,
because they were, you doofus! No, just kidding.
I put this one up here for
that's
Dustin.
That's actually pretty true.
Oh, what is it? I can't see from here.
I put this one up for Dustin, and probably maybe one of you two, but a hobo with a shotgun.
Oh my god. Everyone should go out and see this movie now.
It's on Netflix streaming.
Yes.
That's been on my instant queue on Netflix for like ages.
What is this movie about?
Besides the
obvious.
It's about a hobo with a shotgun.
and people get in front of the shotgun and bad things happen to them.
I think the general idea is that you see this hobo walks into town and there's something really wrong with this town. Like, it's really corrupt and terrible and bad people are running amok.
So there's like hobo, the Batman of hobos?
Exactly. He's Hobo Batman.
Hobo Batman. But instead of Batarang, he has a shotgun.
That would have been a better name for this movie, Hobo Batman. I would have
Did he have a name for a shotgun? Did he call it, like, Mary or something?
No, it's just the shotgun, and it does its
boomstick. This movie started as one of those fake trailers in front of Grindhouse, right?
Yeah.
Actually, I think it was the ones they showed in between the two movies.
Yeah. It happened with Machete, and I think it's happening with Thanksgiving, too.
Yeah, but...
The only Thanksgiving movie I care about is Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
This year, we're having a Thanksgiving.
That's the title. I watched that movie for Thanksgiving. It is like the worst, but the best Thanksgiving movie I've ever seen. It's the only Thanksgiving movie I've ever seen, and it is just ridiculously stupid and very funny. So,
but I was kind of interested in this next movie because it was like adult fantasy, but then I heard it wasn't that good, and that's Your Highness.
I have heard nothing about this. I have no opinion.
It was in theater for like a week.
Oh, really?
It's got James Franco, someone else, and Natalie Portman. It's a weird singer.
It's got the guy from 30 Minutes or Less, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I could literally care less about this film.
I'll probably rent it, but... I heard there was a giant Minotaur penis in
there. Care less.
I don't know.
I couldn't care less.
There you go.
Even after the Minotaur penis?
Wait, there's a Minotaur penis?
That's what I heard.
Yeah, this movie has officially come on my... the top of my list of movies Randy may not want to see.
It does have Natalie Portman, or at least a lookalike in a thong, so there may be some redemption.
No thongery of Natalie Portman would burn out the image of Minotaur penis, Joey. You should know this.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that this movie and Thor that she was in was filmed before Black Swan, but Black Swan was filmed before or after, but like Black Swan, she won a Academy Award for it, and then she starred in, and then she, and Thor and Your Highness came out, so it's like kind of weird timing with that. we skipped Source Code.
Oh,
that was a real good film. I like that.
That was surprisingly good. I like that.
Wait, who's in that movie? Jake Gyllenhaal or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not to spoil it too much, but he's kind of like reliving the last few minutes of this awful train wreck.
It's kind of like Vantage Point, only...
Well, it has to do with, like, alternate dimensions and stuff, but that's not really a big part of it. It's just kind of a way to, so we can relive this last few moments of before this horrific... train crash. He has to discover who did it, and it's a pretty cool movie. I liked it.
Whodunits?
When me and Dustin watched this, we got chicken wings.
Chicken wings?
Yep.
Chicken wings.
Chicken wings.
That's the best way to watch a movie right there.
Yep, some chicken wings and some fries.
Chicken wings, get.
This next movie I didn't see was Rio.
I saw it, but it was the most predictable movie I've seen in a long time.
I figured.
This was the movie that one of the Pixar guys said reminded them of Newt.
It's the reason they stopped making Newt. And
I'm
honestly,
sure there's other reasons, but...
that's one of the reasons, though. According to the press...
Well, because it seems like Brave is going to be just How to Train Your Dragon, it looks like.
Really? So, it looks pretty awesome, if you ask me.
I predict there's going to be an element of How to Train Your Dragon and Brave, so...
But... I don't know. I just, like... Okay, so, you know, it's basically boy meets girl, boy and girl are birds... And it's just insert your stereotypical romance film plot. They get together. They're really not right for each other. It's a quirky give and take romance. And eventually they're like, I can't stand you anymore. So they leave. And then they're like, wait, I was happy when I was with this person. We should get back together. And then all their
dreams feather
and flock together, my friend. It was just very predictable.
Did they slingshot themselves towards green pigs?
You know, that would have been the best way to end that movie.
Well, it was Angry Birds all along.
Angry Birds, the movie.
You know, they made Angry Birds Rio. It's been awesome.
The toy manufacturer actually got a deal with the Angry Birds. They had Angry Birds, and then they had a deal with the folks at Rio, so they made Angry Birds versions of the characters of the movie.
Yep. I thought this was an Angry Birds movie, but then I knew better.
Wow.
So I guess it was average. Scream 4, it's Scream 4. Fast 5, it's Fast 5. Have you seen either of those?
I have not seen Scream 4 or Fast 5. I've never really been interested in the Fast and Furious series.
Yeah. I heard like the last few Fast and Furious movies have been pretty good. They're not really my type of movies.
I say the meh.
Really?
My wife saw Fast Five, and she's a very large movie authority in this apartment. She thoroughly enjoyed it. Usually she thoroughly enjoyed it, and she's kind of a stickler for movies sometimes. So if she enjoyed it, then I think it might be something worth watching.
Yeah, I've heard they're pretty good for what they are. So
yeah, and also that you know Dwayne Johnson's in it, so yeah, that's a plus because he's awesome. And then my comment on Scream 4, you see, I've always hated the Scream movies because here's Randy flaunting his I have self-defense training muscle, but honestly, hit him with a chair. Like, honestly, when you got a guy who's got a, you know, a 4.5-inch knife and he's coming after you, your first reaction most of the time isn't try to run away. In this day and age especially, it's grab the nearest object that has more reach than his knife and hit him. Hit him hard. Hit him as much as you can. And
and when he's down, keep hitting.
Keep hitting. And like, I hate slasher flicks that like the killer is just a dude. Like the things that made like Leatherface. Leatherface seemed inhuman. Impossible, monstrous in appearance and everything. You know, he's not a dude in a Halloween costume. No, he's a dude wearing a mask that used to be the face of another human being. That's terrifying. Jason Voorhees. Jason Voorhees is an unstoppable force of murder. So, like, slasher flicks that are...
We don't know if he's a demon or a zombie or... We don't know what that...
And don't even get me started on Michael Myers.
He's technically a zombie, and Michael Myers pisses me off for a lot of reasons. There's no reason for him to be able to get shot in the head twice and keep getting up. There's no reason for it. He's supposed to be a dude.
Well, so anyway. For what it's worth, I heard Scream 4 was okay, but I don't want to see it. Okay, we're going to have an argument here between Richard and Randy.
Oh, boy.
Thor, God of Thunder. In one corner, we have Richard. In the other corner, we have Ranchard. Go.
Okay.
All right. I was going to say, I'll hear you out, Richard. I'll listen to what you have to say.
Bite your tongue.
And then I will
I will be civil about this. I will be civil about this. I mean, if you come up with a good reason for me to like this movie, I will understand. But my issue with Thor is, you know, when you make a movie, you come up with an idea, you put it on the screen, but I feel like it should have some artistic value to it. I really hate movies that are made just to rake in money. And in my mind, all Thor is a 2-hour commercial for the Avengers, because I really felt that there was a serious lack of content to this in comparison with other films. It just seems like a really hollow movie.
I don't disagree with you. I think the only movie this movie got made is because of Avengers. But I think it has more substance here than what you're saying.
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't know. I imagine it has more substance than, say, maybe Ghost Rider, but or Daredevil or something. But the point I'm trying to make is, I felt like this movie really shouldn't have been made. Maybe that's a little harsh. Maybe that's a little harsh.
That is hard. That is a lot harsh.
I wish these actors never got work.
I like Chris Hemsworth. He's a good actor.
Fired.
I think that maybe they should have spent more time trying to develop the film better, because I really didn't see much of a story here, or at least much of a strong story here. Okay.
Randy, what do you think?
Randy's counterattack. Anyway. Thor was trying to get this across, to introduce the character, to show the character in general, and to give the people a reason why Thor should care about the planet Earth, or Midgar in his tongue, of course. But anyway, the struggles that happened between the start of the movie, where he's an arrogant jerk and starts a bunch of crap with the frost giants, till the end, where he's, you know, spoiler, 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 spoiler. But in any case, you know,
go ahead, say it.
I like spoiler. The movie primarily because it was a good lesson in humbling yourself. Yeah. You could be an arrogant jerk your entire life, but you won't ever actually learn anything about yourself or about your responsibilities if you keep those ideals that make you a jerk.
And if you do that, you won't get it on with Natalie Portman.
You will not get it on with Natalie Portman, and that is just every man's goal, isn't it?
I do think his change happened way too suddenly in the movie, because basically he was on Earth for, what, a day, 2 days?
Like a day and a half.
Yeah, and then he had like a complete 180 in his values.
Well, the reason being is because he realized that, well, Loki is Loki.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I just think it happened too fast.
So, like, the thing is that Asgardians will probably deal with things differently than humans do. And, like, when you understand, like okay, from a bystander's perspective, us, you know, here, we can't ever know exactly what it is that Thor is thinking or seeing or feeling at the moment, except for what his actions are on the screen. Now, honestly, I'm pretty sure that if you got floored by a giant machine that was created by your father specifically to kill things, and you realize that you're literally sacrificing yourself for this planet that you've just recently become accustomed to and attached to, you start to understand a little better the complexities and the value of mortality. And that was always what Odin wanted Thor to understand. And now that Thor understands it, he will try to become, you know, himself as the protector of Midgar. So, like, when you think about it from a perspective, your average moviegoer's perspective, which is, I like to see the pretty pictures and all the strange sound effects, but when you're folks who... Like, now, I think a lot of my opinion, as a side note, is extremely biased. I'm not going to lie. I do have a lot of favoritism.
I think we all like the movie here. Like, maybe Rich thought it could have been better, but we all like Thor.
It was okay.
Yeah.
In the wide spectrum of Marvel films, it wasn't its best.
Captain America, I think, was better.
Yeah, I agree entirely that it was not one of its best. As a matter of fact, I still find that to be a tie between the second Iron Man film and the Captain America film. And that's just my personal opinion.
You like Iron Man 2 better than Iron Man, huh?
Well, I don't really count the Spider-Man films in the.
Oh, I said Iron Man.
What?
Did you say Spider-Man or Iron Man?
Iron Man.
Okay, so you like Iron Man 2 better than Iron Man 1?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, that is a conversation for another podcast. But guys, it's going to be like 3 hours long if we don't get.
So Thor, it could have been horrible. It was pretty cool.
Yeah,
it was better than it had any business being.
Exactly.
Oh, Hawkeye was in it.
Yeah, Jeremy Renner was. That was the best surprise of that movie. In my
I think
opinion.
He was in the movie after the fact. I think they filmed his scenes after they filmed it.
I'm starting to root for this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, he was good. Yeah. It was cool to see him in Avengers, and he was cool in Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. Well, Drive Angry 3D, I don't even know what that movie is. What is that?
Yeah.
Is it in 3D? Okay.
Somebody's driving angry in this movie.
Yep. In 3D! Yeah. That was probably another Kevin movie.
Yeah.
Wasn't Nicolas Cage in that?
I think so.
Yeah. If so, then I really, really don't care.
It's a great movie. Go watch it.
The thing about Nicolas Cage is... You can flip with every Nicolas Cage movie made. Flip a coin, heads is good, tails is bad.
I think like it's like the Harvey Dent coin that has like heads on both sides. It's always a bad movie.
No, he's made a few good movies,
like Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
I will defend that movie. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
Raising Arizona.
I'm
Season of the Witch.
Oh, or The Wicker Man, not the bees. not the bees.
Ghost Rider 2, where he pisses fire.
Witch.
All right, let's move on.
Okay.
So I think my opinion on this next movie has changed a little bit since I've seen it, which is Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides.
Still have not seen this.
It's definitely not as good as the other pirate movies, but I think I liked it a lot more when I watched it again. Because my expectations were in check, you know?
Yeah. I think I'm in the same boat as you, Joey, right now, because I feel that after, you know, I guess I was expecting a lot from it, but then you had to accept the fact that, you know, now that Keira Knightley and Orlando Bloom and, you know, half the original cast wasn't there anymore, you really can't really expect much. So I don't know, that's kind of the way I saw it, but I mean, I like the new characters. I liked the introduction of Penelope Cruz was a good part of that, but
yeah, like, I liked her part a lot more this time around. You know, it didn't have a lot of great action, but it was there.
Yeah.
Still didn't like, since it doesn't see, I don't spoil it, but like I didn't really like the ending parts much.
Yeah. It kind of just ended.
Yeah, so they're gonna keep making these movies for better or worse.
Johnny Depp is said he's gonna keep playing Jack Sparrow as long as he's popular in to like the public. Mm-hmm. So unless they come,
we were kind of so-so on the movie during our podcast review, and then after the fact, I kind of didn't like it that much. But you know, I watched it again; it was okay, it was fine.
Yeah.
I don't think it should have been made, but
yeah,
at least not so soon. Skip that one. Kung Fu Panda 2.
I think it was actually, in my opinion, it benefited a lot from Guillermo del Toro's contribution as far as writing the screenplay. It was much darker than the first one, and I think I really liked the Gary Oldman's character. It was much better villain this time around.
Yeah.
I like how Gary Oldman is a really good villain.
he's like, a peacock in this movie, so it's great.
Lately, I've been watching a lot of movies. Like, I watched The Book of Eli. I watched The Fifth Element lately. And Kung Fu Panda. That guy always plays villains.
Well, he played... he's Gordon in the Dark Knight movies.
Yeah, he's a...
And he's Sirius Black.
Yeah, and like... Yeah, he's really good at hiding himself. Like... You kind of can't tell that those are the same actor, you know?
Yeah, I feel like he's a really, like, one of those great English actors. And I mean, this doesn't really apply to nerdy movies, but he's actually in a new movie which could potentially win him an Oscar this year. It's called Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. And I hear that he might be winning an Academy Award for that performance.
Yeah.
This movie was DreamWorks' new, pretty good movies that they've been putting out lately. And I didn't think it was as good as the first one. I thought the first one had some better action, like fighting scenes. I thought Poe's character arc in this one wasn't as strong as the other one. It was just average. I liked it, though.
Oh, and needless to say, I don't know if there was a sequel hook or they were just going into the TV series.
Yeah, there's kind of a hook at the end where I didn't know if it was going towards the TV show or a possible sequel, but...
Yeah, they've already agreed that they're going to be making a bunch of sequels for this movie, but...
I was worried that this would become the next Shrek. Yeah. And, not the Shrek 2 Shrek, but more the Shrek 3 Shrek, and it didn't do that, so that's okay.
That's good.
Yep.
I still haven't seen Shrek 4.
It's okay.
I haven't seen it either. All right, let's go on to the really good Marvel movie of this year.
Randy, you here?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, so we never got a chance to do a podcast about this one, but it's a really good movie, X-Men First Class.
I think it's the best X-Men movie
made. Oh, definitely. I like it
better than the original series. Ones.
Absolutely.
I like it a lot because they, I may not agree with this alternate X-Men continuity, and I may not agree with, the canon that it does do, but I'm not going to lie. My Marvel comic book fanboy status aside, this was a legitimately awesome movie. It was a good sit-down, watch it, enjoy it for what it is film. And I really
enjoy it for what it is. I think it works on a lot of levels.
Yeah.
More than a brainless action flick.
In a way, it really reminds me of Star Trek, of J.J. Abrams' Star Trek, because it's you have a bunch of young actors.
Yeah.
All of them, it's just kind of fresh off the block, and they, they go together and be in a film that has been done before. And they do it their own way, and it turns out really good.
The scene with Eric in the German bar, I thought was a legitimate great scene.
Yeah.
It was full of tension and all that stuff. I'll get this off my chest. I like X-Men Wolverine a lot. It's a really good movie.
I question Joey's taste sometimes.
Deadpool aside, which I think, they didn't do very well. That's a pretty cool action movie.
I've had my nerd rage about Deadpool.
Yeah. I think I mentioned that on another podcast recently. One thing I did not like about this movie, I didn't not like it, that I didn't think it should have done is, slight spoiler, Magneto becomes a bad guy at the end of this movie.
Yeah, I think they rushed that just a bit.
Yeah, they rushed that. I wish they had at least another movie or, he turns in the next movie into a bad guy. Because it just
I
felt like...
I felt the same way. Yeah. I felt like it was almost rushed because, spoiler alert. Wait, has anybody here not seen the movie yet? Nobody. We've all seen this, right? I'm sorry. I'm blanking right now. But
I thought I saw it.
Did we introduce everyone yet?
Shut up, Joey. No. At the ending when Charles gets shot and he becomes paralyzed.
Yeah.
I really felt like they could have kept him. He could have kept the use of his legs and they could have had him continue the role he had in this movie for a sequel or something. Yeah. I really felt that they could have done. They could have kept this formula for another film.
Yeah,
but they didn't know there was going to be a sequel.
Yeah. Like what Dustin said, I think they didn't know there was going to be a sequel. They didn't know they were going to make one, that if they would be able to. And so they just had to get everything in place. So Charles had to be paralyzed. Magneto had to be a bad guy. And I wish they left it on for another movie.
Yeah.
But they couldn't take a bit. Oh, Wolverine's one scene in this movie.
Best part of the entire movie.
It's the best scene Wolverine has ever had.
Yeah. Okay.
We're forming a team.
We tell you about the event. Imagine at the end of Iron Man, if Nick Fury goes, "We're making the Avengers Initiative," and Tony Stark just flicks him off and
It's like, yeah, no thanks. Okay.
I wish Wolverine could show up in the Avengers, but no. Fox ain't gonna let that happen.
Yeah, that's probably not gonna happen. Oh, it's time for my favorite movie of 2011.
Is it?
It is definitely on my top three of 2011.
What is it, Richard Farrow?
Oh, it is J.J. Abrams' Super 8. This movie, as I have said before on a previous podcast, is one of my favorite J.J. Abrams films.
I watched this a couple weeks ago, so I've seen it since then.
I would kind of like to say no spoiler, please, because okay. I have not seen it.
There's nothing really to spoil in it, but we won't talk about it.
I won't spoil it, but I got to say, J.J. Abrams is, in my opinion, he is this generation's Steven Spielberg. He is fantastic. Like, just those his style of making movies is just an homage to the good old days. When it wasn't all about marketing, it wasn't all about, like, you know, making a never-ending franchise. It was just about plain old fun. And this movie just capitalizes on that. And it is such a good movie. Also, it has one of the best train crash sequences.
Oh, the train crash was amazing.
Yeah, the train crash was absolutely fantastic.
I'll have to put that on my must-watch list.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you should.
The alien, I thought, wasn't the strongest point of this movie.
Yeah, I really feel like the human factor about it, like the emotion of the film, really does a stronger plays a stronger part of the story than the actual sci-fi, and I think that should be the case with all films these days. I really don't think that you should make the fantasy part of your story. That shouldn't be the front line. What should be at the front line should be the emotion, like the character development, that sort of thing.
And another cool thing about this movie, it had really good child actors.
Exactly. I think we can definitely expect a lot more from these actors in the future.
Yeah.
You know, but... Yeah. So...
I think... It got kind of a lukewarm response when it came out, but it's actually a pretty cool movie.
Yeah. And why don't we move on to the next one, then?
Okay. I bet Dustin's going to talk about this one. It actually might have another duel of the death here between Randy. Randy, here?
Yeah, yeah.
Randy.
Okay, you're just really quiet. I'm sorry if we're taking
over here. Oh, because I don't like Super 8 at all.
Okay. Our next movie, Green Lantern.
Actually, I'm going to go ahead and say this. This movie was all right. It was not... I think Green Lantern works better in animation, personally, but I just did not really like how this ultimately all came out, which saddens me because I really, really like Ryan Reynolds. I do. I'm a big fan, but this movie just meh.
Yeah. Right. By the way, I gotta say it's kind of funny how we're talking about the Green Lantern and Joey decided to highlight it in the Google Doc and it was highlighted in green.
Oh, that was just me selecting it. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, no, it was on purpose. See, yes. Watch. Oh, there we go. Green now. Randy, I remember you saying you really liked this movie.
I did, actually. And my roommate, when we went to go see it, he actually reserved an entire row at the movie theater just to see this movie.
Why would he do that?
Because he is who he is. But honestly...
Is one chair not good enough?
No. One chair. This must have one row. We must deny people the opportunity to see this film. And, like, you know, if you ask some people, they'll say we saved them from the film. But, like, ask me. Like, honestly, ask me or my roommate. And I'll tell you that we denied people the benefit of seeing this awesome movie. And
before Randy defends it, I'm going to give my take on it. And, I didn't think it was very good. I thought it was about as good as, like, the Fantastic Four movie. But, when you have a premise like this, a crazy premise, you know, basically space cops that have magic powers, you have to own your premise. I mean, you have to exploit the heck out of it. The fact that this movie had Green Lanterns in it was irrelevant, I thought. Like, just nothing about it screamed magic space police. The villain was stupid. It didn't have effect on really any of the characters, except in a tiniest bit of way. Like, all the Green Lantern stuff took place on a CG planet where basically Hal Jordan learned how to use a magic sword. Sinestro is supposed to be like a mentor character. He didn't do anything. So yeah, I didn't really like this movie very much. The special effects were meh, were kind of average. I actually liked the suit, even though a lot of people complained about it.
I thought the suit was actually pretty good. I'll give him that. The suit was...
So, Randy, defend it.
My defense?
Yep.
A lot of the backstory, or the story that they were trying to cover, the story arcs in general, that they were trying to get across in this was hundreds, possibly thousands of pages of scripting. And so the fact that they managed to shorten that to such a degree that it was is a phenomenal feat in of itself.
Yeah, I'll go with you on that.
You're talking about, like, Sinestro turning evil, or are you talking about Parallax, or...
Talking about Parallax.
Parallax! Yeah,
that's why
Parallax
it wasn't good. He was supposed to be, like, Dustin told me he's, like, one of the biggest bads in the DC universe, and...
Period. I mean, still is.
It's kind of like Galactus in the Silver Surfer Fantastic Four movie. It's supposed to be like this big, powerful force, but he didn't seem like a threat in that movie.
You know what was probably the issue there, and I think that this is a good formula that a lot of superhero films should follow, is that you really shouldn't use your trump card as far as supervillains are concerned in your first movie if you're planning a series of films.
In your origin story.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, for instance, they In Christopher Nolan's Batman series, it was a good idea to have, like, say, Scarecrow and Ra's al Ghul, like those minor villains. I mean, I know people who are big fans of Batman will probably be like, oh, Ra's al Ghul was a really big villain. But for me, who doesn't really follow Batman that much, but is aware of some of the mythology. I mean, the Joker has always been the big guy as far as Batman series. And they
especially
did
Christopher Nolan's Batman, the Joker.
Yeah.
Like, if that was in the first movie, I think you wouldn't be able to spend as much time on his character because the first movie was about Batman.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, so I really think that, you know, when you make a film like that, it's always a smart move to kind of just have, like, maybe a weaker, or not so much weaker, but maybe a not as popular villain be the first guy you face. Like, for instance, in Iron Man, you know, he doesn't go up against the Mandarin, he goes up against Ironmonger. So that's my personal opinion about it.
One of the animated movies, I forget which one.
They still haven't gotten to the Mandarin Iron Man movies.
Yeah.
But. One of the Iron Man Green Lantern cartoons, like, it, I guess it wasn't an origin story, because it started off with Hal Jordan already being a Green Lantern, but it, you know, it was about him and Sinestro being good a good cop, bad cop, trying to defeat this bad guy, and I think that would have ultimately worked better, because Sinestro is supposed to be the big villain if they ever make another one of these, and... You don't know anything about him in this movie. You don't know his values or his morals.
Oh, I would like to mention that there is actually a Green Lantern CG series coming out. And it does something that I wish the movies had done. Brought up the other Lantern Corps.
Yeah, like, you can't introduce that stuff in the first movie because the Green Lantern is already such a weird concept.
Oh, true. So, yeah, you can't introduce, like, the Red Lantern, like the whole spectrum, if you will.
Sorry, Randy. Yeah. We didn't really like this movie.
Make like a Darkest Night, because that's the only way it would work. The Black Lanterns would have to be introduced first, and it would have to be pantheon spanning across the entire DC universe, because the Scarecrow becomes a Yellow Lantern, Lex Luthor becomes an Orange Lantern, and
this is like one of the most hilarious backfires in DC history, I have to say.
And if Aquaman's wife becomes a Red Lantern, and Wonder Woman becomes a Violet Lantern.
Seems like DC's universe is a lot more connected than the Marvel one.
Well, not as much as it used to be since the reboot.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. I don't recommend Green Lantern.
Yeah. Oh, in other news, Batman decided to join the Batman Lanterns.
Bat-Lantern.
Technically, he actually joins the Sinestro Corps, but we won't get into that.
Ooh. Okay.
It was briefly, wasn't it?
Yes.
I won't spend a lot of time on this, but because I think I'm the only one who's seen it. But Cars 2?
I didn't see it.
Pass.
First Pixar film I have not bothered to go see in theaters
in a long time. I will agree with almost everyone saying this is Pixar's first misstep. It's their first not great movie.
It's a shame. It's a damn shame.
I will say that if you don't like Mater and all that stuff, then you probably won't like this movie. But if you get past all that or you don't mind them, it's a pretty good action spy movie aimed at a younger audience. That's all I'll say about it. I don't know why the heck they made this movie and why the heck they made it the way they did. But
maybe it was some specter of the Eisner era of Disney coming back to haunt them.
I don't know. It seems like John Lasseter really wanted to make this movie, though, because he has such a... Like, the first movie was about his love of cars and the, you know, like, the road and all that stuff and, like, racing. And this movie was about his love of spy films, and cars are a big part of spy films.
Well, I wish he had made a spy film
that didn't involve cars.
Spy film.
I think this movie would have been a lot better, even if they kept kind of the same premise, kind of altered it so it didn't involve cars. It would have made a better received movie.
Yeah.
It's just the fact that it stars Mater and Lightning McQueen. Well, it's really just Mater. And
you know what would have been good? They could have made this an incredible sequel. They made it a superhero spy thriller.
There's talk about that, but if I wouldn't. Yeah.
But it has some good side characters. It's just the moral of the story.
Yeah.
It's very strong, but moving on.
Speaking of cars with personalities.
Personalities in quotes. This is a Transformers Dark of the Moon. We were kind of, you know, it's like, oh, that was a pretty cool movie during the podcast. But I think after the fact, I started to realize what the heck this franchise turned into.
Yeah, as it starts to percolate in your mind.
Yeah. This movie has some awesome sequences. Great special effects.
Horrible story.
The story has nothing to do with the premise. Yeah.
It's a Michael Bay movie. Have you seen Pearl Harbor? There is nothing in between the action scenes.
I watched this movie like on Blu-ray when it came out. I didn't buy it. But I was like, I just wanted to get to the action scenes because I didn't care about the story going on. Then when I got to the action scenes, there's just so much of it. My brain overloaded. It's like, oh, there's another building exploding. Like the scene with the building crashing because of the giant snake transformer was cool. But they had all this action buildup for a resolution that didn't matter at all. So all that 20 minutes of action with all the Marines going through the city, it doesn't matter. They fail their mission. the characters, Optimus Prime, he sacrifices the people of Chicago to teach the government a lesson. Like, this movie, I really love the first Transformers movie. But, like, yeah.
I think Michael Bay should step away from the franchise.
They're in talks about him doing the fourth one. So, I don't know what the heck is going on with this.
That's just sad. Okay, yeah. Before I start, like, you know, crying myself to sleep tonight, let's move on to something that's,
Randy, like, you have anything to say about Transformers?
I liked it.
I liked it, too, but it's just...
It's flawed.
It's seriously flawed. The first time I liked it, and one day I'll watch it again, and I'll be okay, fine. It's Transformers 3, but
Well, like personally, here's why I liked it. In the second movie, it was about being ridiculous. So whatever the heck they were thinking when they made the second movie.
This movie was ridiculous too.
And it wasn't to the level. You didn't see robot balls. Robots weren't farting fire in this one. You didn't see dogs fucking.
That's why we felt better about the movie when we first saw it.
And so,
because the second one just left such a bad taste in our mouth. This one was just bad for other reasons.
But, like, honestly, like, I enjoyed, like, I'm not a huge fan of Shia LaBeouf. I'm not. But they forced him to actually be a character, not be annoying Shia LaBeouf like he usually is, but be Sam Witwicky, who feels dejected by the world. You know, he's like, hey, I saved the world. And he's trying to ride his own coattails, but he finds out he can't quite ride his coattails anymore.
Kind of like the second one. I like the first part of this movie better than the last half. Because in both of those movies, it just felt so disconnected from the first half of it. And, like, I like the part where he's looking for a job, but then all that job stuff and his boss just disappears by the end of the movie. Like, it's not relevant, and I'm no expert in movies. I don't know what they could have done. But in the first one...
They wasted John Malkovich.
Yeah, he just disappears.
That's a crime.
Yeah, he disappears halfway through the movie. And, like, first one, there's kind of an arc between, like, Sam and the girl and... Oh, the girl's better in this movie, though.
Oh, yeah. No one misses Megan Fox.
Like, surprise, surprise, the one thing we thought was going to be horrible about this movie turns out to be the best part. Like, not only is she, I think, better looking, but she can act a lot better than Megan Fox.
Megan Fox couldn't act her way out of a wet paper bag.
Maybe it's the fact because she's British, she gets like a... It's like we kind of ignore it. So they're like, oh, British. Yeah.
British.
I say watch it for the special effects. You may like it, but I don't know.
Turn your brain off.
I'm glad I didn't buy it.
Yeah. It's time... Okay, but it's time to talk about the actual, like, one of the better movies of the year. The one that people are arguing should win Best Picture this year.
No.
Which I don't think is going to happen, personally.
Yeah. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
It is the best addition into the Harry Potter series, if you ask me.
It's one of the best ones.
Yeah.
I was surprised at how well this film worked. I thought the first Deathly Hallows was kind of boring.
I think we shouldn't really go too in depth to this, because didn't we do a Harry Potter podcast a while back?
No, we didn't.
Oh, Dustin, we never did a Harry Potter.
I kept on asking Joey about that, and he's just, didn't.
I still want to do one. It just hasn't worked out.
I thought we did one. No, I kind of swore we did.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. Never mind.
With Harry Potter or with Mega Man.
I
know. Well, admittedly, you gotta admit that'd be awesome.
Yeah, but this movie was really good. I liked most of the adaptations to film that this movie did, like less than the other ones. Like I wasn't really taken aback by some of it. Like the extended final battle. Like I liked the changes they made with that.
Yeah. I was very pleasantly surprised by how it ended. Because I've never been a big fan of David Yates as the director for the Harry Potter series. I always felt that, Alfonso Cuarón was the best. But, I felt very happy with how the final one was adapted. And I think it benefits from the fact that, you know, you basically got rid of all the boring parts of this movie by doing Deathly Hallows Part 1.
Yeah, basically.
You basically trimmed the fat by splitting this into two films. And so you had two films, one of which kind of had the boring parts of Deathly Hallows of the book, and then you had all the best parts of Deathly Hallows in Part 2.
Yeah. One thing I thought was kind of out of place is that even though it was well shot and all that, the break into Gringotts just felt really disconnected from the rest of the movie. That's kind of a minor point. There's one thing about these movies, though, that I guess if we ever do that Harry Potter podcast, I'll go into a little more detail, but they always leave out some of the most impactful parts of the books. And in this case, in the last few movies, it's like Half-Blood Prince was about Voldemort, about Tom Riddle. They didn't really have, in his past, they didn't have hardly anything about that in the movie. And Deathly Hallows was in large part about Dumbledore. And they didn't really have any of that in the movie.
No.
It was about his past and his relationships. And what he did to gain power in the wizarding world with Grindelwald and stuff. And they just glossed it over because obviously there's just no time for it. But, like, that was some of my favorite parts of the books, and they were just non-existent in the movies. And, like, the stuff between Snape and Lily, while they did an excellent job with the flashback, they still left out the most important part, which was Lily hated Snape after a certain point. But they didn't even show that, you know?
Yeah.
But other than that, I really liked it.
Yep. Good movie. Good movie.
Good movie. My dad, I don't think really liked it that much. He thought the ending was stupid. With the young actors in old makeup.
What'd you think of that process, by the way? Like how they made them look older?
It wasn't bad, but they still look like kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
So yeah, I think overall the Harry Potter series has been good. But they're no substitute for the books.
Yeah.
There's some parts I think they did better.
Go read some Dead Trees.
Read
Dead
a book.
or open your Kindle, which I got for Christmas.
Yay.
Now let's kind of speed up a little bit here.
Okay.
Winnie the Pooh, I heard it was cute.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah. I didn't see it. I wanted to, but I didn't.
Guess we can talk a little about this. Did a review on it, though. Captain America.
Awesome, 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 cool movie. Awesome.
I have nothing to say because I didn't see it.
I didn't see it. Randy, I know you liked it.
My roommate bought for me for Christmas the same one who bought all the seats at the – or a whole row of seats.
He bought all the Captain America DVDs.
And games. No, he didn't actually. I'm into this game called Hero Clicks. It's a collectible miniatures war game.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
He bought me $100 worth of the figures, and so like I got like 20 booster packs, which is 5 dudes a piece, and so I mean they were all of the Captain America variety. I love Captain America.
So I'm guessing you have every Captain America variant known to man?
At this time, yes.
Well, good for you. Bet you're happy. Yeah, but this is a cool movie. We talked a lot about it before, but like they just nailed the aesthetics of it. Thought the ending wasn't the strongest, but it was still pretty cool. I wish we would have more Captain America in this time frame, but anything else is probably going to be modern day Captain America.
Yeah, but honestly, this was awesome. If you have not seen Captain America: The First Avenger, do it now. Well, maybe after the podcast is over, but you get the idea.
Watch it while we do this. Me and my dad saw this next movie, and we liked it a lot. Cowboys and Aliens.
So I was
actually kind of disappointed. I was expecting more from this movie. I think it's – yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just felt as though the Cowboys part of it was really strong. The Aliens part was a little sub.
It was more Cowboys and Monsters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark made a good point, and I heard this around too, that he doesn't like when aliens are monsters. This is the same problem Super 8 had, where, you know, the aliens is basically a big monster. And it's just, you have to suspend your disbelief a little bit that this monstrous alien, who's usually not wearing clothes, usually has, like, crab hands or something, like, has all this really advanced technology, and is flying around spaceships, and, But yeah, but for what it is, like I thought it was a pretty fun movie. Had a really good cast. You guys agree?
I really liked Daniel Craig in this movie. I don't know, I haven't seen him in a cowboy movie before, and it really really played out well. Especially and same goes for Harrison Ford. They both did a good job.
Very, very good film.
I think people were expecting a lot more from this movie. It didn't deliver for a lot of people, but I recommend it.
Yep.
Okay. The Smurfs. This and like Yogi Bear. I think Yogi Bear was last year, but like the what's wrong with?
I'm tuning out for this one,
type
buddy.
Of movies. The fact that later on this list is a third Chipmunks movie. Yeah.
Moving on. Yes, thank you.
My favorite movie of the year is Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
That's a great movie.
I loved this movie.
I was very surprised. I was planning on hating this movie. I thought this was going to be a terrible movie, and then I watch it, and I was just blown away. It was fantastic.
Dustin, do you see it?
Serious? What movie?
Rise of the Planet.
Seen this.
Okay. Yeah, I love this movie. Like, I liked the other planet, like the remake, Planet of the Apes. I understood why it was flawed in a lot of ways, but I liked it. But that was basically the end of the series. Like, I didn't think this was going to continue on. So when I heard that they're making another Apes movie, and it's not going to be a sequel or a remake, but it's going to be kind of based on the fourth movie of the series, Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, I was like, what the heck's going on? I think the code name was Caesar Rise of the Apes at one point. And it's like CG Apes. It's going to be set in modern times. It's kind of a remake / prequel / whatever. And but like when I saw the first trailer, it kind of clicked with me. I was like, oh, so this is what they're doing with this movie. Like this is about... And like once I actually saw the movie, this is a character piece on a and like it, about Caesar and about how he's. Well, it's hard to explain. It's just the movie doesn't end with apes taking over the Earth, which that's one of the reasons why I liked it a lot. Is it just goes in directions that you're not quite expecting. It has a lot of emotion in it.
Yeah.
Andy Serkis as Caesar is the best CG character ever.
So. Yeah, it's. I mean, I haven't seen a CGI character on film this good since Gollum in Lord of the Rings.
And Gollum was 10 years ago, so.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to what they do with Gollum and The Hobbit.
Oh my gosh!
So, I don't want to spoil this for Dustin, but I really liked it.
Yeah, it's very good.
Two.
Onward.
What else we got?
I watched King Kong, the 2006 one, after I watched Apes on Blu-ray to see kind of the differences between Andy Serkis, and the difference between King Kong and Caesar are just like 100%, like the expressions and movements and emotion from Caesar's way more than the stoic King Kong was in that movie. As good as it was, but after Caesar, like it's just
he was really able to emphasize more human emotion because like one of the big things they were trying to convey and like basically the impression that I felt that they were trying to make us the moviegoers feel is that how human like Caesar could be and how he and the apes could become the successors of the, you know, the dominant species on the planet. And so I liked that they put so much emotion in, like, you know, the moment that the other, that the uprising starts happening and you see the other apes who are, you know, like Caesar, doing the things that they're doing. And the facial expressions they all would have, stuff like that. So going from the gorilla that, you know, Caesar befriends, who, you know, at first comes off as, you know, I am a gorilla. And then later in the film, he like...
No,
you know,
spoilers.
Yeah, he's a full understanding and he understands
concepts that, like, what it is to be, like, a military leader and all that stuff.
Exactly.
There's a few things that kind of bug me after the fact. Like, there's one point where two apes are, like Caesar and chimpanzee are sign languaging.
Correction, it was an orangutan.
And I looked into it, and apes cannot sign language like that. Like, they can't go that in depth with their sign language.
In fact, you know, they really think that, because, you know, people when that random, I forget the chimpanzee's name who did the sign language a while ago, but the one who did that, it wasn't because they actually knew how to talk. It's only because they were responding to stimuli from food, because these people were giving them food every time they made that sign. Mm-hmm. So it really wasn't because they knew how to talk. Or because I don't really feel like apes' minds are developed enough to actually be able to communicate that way. We've probably talked a lot
about that kind of stuff, but it doesn't go in depth. Like, an ape cannot – they haven't been able to have a trained ape ask a question yet. And that wasn't responded by, you know, stimuli. And in the movie, you know, the chimpanzee asks Caesar questions, and that just can't happen.
Yeah.
And there's one part where there's only one smart ape, basically.
It was actually a gorilla, which is also an ape.
It has the drug. And but later on, this is a little bit of a spoiler, but they get more apes to join the cause. And some of the apes kind of act like they're intelligent, but according to the story, they're not. So that's kind of a minor point.
Overall, it's a very good movie.
I really liked it. I know they're making a sequel. So I hope they're on the right track with that.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to talk a lot about the rest of these movies, so let's go through them even quicker.
Okay.
A Final Destination 5, they keep making them. Conan the Barbarian.
I didn't even know that they made this movie.
I heard it flopped big time.
I liked it, but that's only because I love, like, brutal, gory, violence, action, things like that. So
you might have liked it, but it's still flopped.
I like the Duke Nukem game, for God's sake. So, you know,
you can't talk anymore.
Hail to the king, baby.
The thing is that I love cheesy action movies. I love the cheesy one-liners. I mean, like, when Arnold Schwarzenegger and the Running Man goes up to a dude and goes, "Need a lift?" and lifts the dude up and throws him off a balcony, I just squeal with delight.
Yeah, did a Conan have that?
Yes. Well, he didn't really have the cheesy lines, but he had the, like, "I'm excessive manly and I'm going to do what I want." And
isn't he the guy who from Game of Thrones?
I
thought he was.
I don't know. I don't know. I know nothing about this movie.
All right. Spy Kids 4D. What the crap?
Why? Yeah. Moving on.
Apollo 18. I heard it wasn't great, but I'll still watch it anyway.
Meh.
This is a new movie, but Lion King was released in 3D.
This isn't the nerdy movies of 1995. This is the nerdy movies of 2011.
But
that was worth mentioning.
Oh, and they're releasing Beauty and the Beast in 3D.
Disney is turning into the new Lucasfilm.
Except
they're not changing it. Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. Beauty and the Beast is still one of the best. It won a freaking. It won the best. It was nominated for Best Picture.
Oh, I'm going back to apes a little bit. Do you think Andy Serkis is going to be nominated for Best Supporting Actor, like they're trying to push?
There's been talk about that. I'm not sure if – because, you see, I feel like the Academy might snub him for the simple fact that he is an animated character. There's potential, I think. I think that maybe
– this is the most advanced motion capture that they have. And I watched some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, and it is him.
I think it's a dark horse right now. Because he hasn't been nominated for the Golden Globes. So, I mean, I don't – because usually the Golden Globes are a good hint as to who's going to get nominated for what during the Academy Awards. So I haven't seen anything that has really pushed for him to become the best – like a Best Actor nomination. Because if he's going to get anything, it's going to be a nomination for Best Actor. Because, I mean, Caesar is basically the main character in the story.
Yeah, probably heard, though, and they're pushing for Best Supporting Actor.
Okay, but guys, we need to move on.
Fine. But I want to talk about apes. Okay, Lion King still holds up. Real Steel.
I love that movie.
I think actually it got pretty good buzz when it came out, despite kind of the initial what the crap moments that people saw in the trailer.
What's funny is The most common comparison to Real Steel is like, oh, it's Rock'em Sock'em Robots, the movie. They're ripping off Rock'em Sock'em Robots. I've got some news for you, pal. Real Steel is actually based on a film, or not a film, I'm sorry, a short story called Steel that was written in 1956 by Richard Matheson. And so this is about, it's about, you know, replacing the man for boxing. Now, the thing is that, yeah, they added a whole lot more story to it where it was, I really like the story for it. It's a very, very well-written tale, really. Yeah,
it looks good. I want to see this.
And it stars Wolverine.
You mean Hugh Jackman?
No, I mean Wolverine.
Well, moving on.
It just stars the Wolverine. I started The Thing, the prequel, supposed prequel slash remake slash whatever. It was okay. CG The Thing, it kind of defeats the purpose of The Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Thing was terrifying in its own right because of what it was and with how they were working with everything, or working with what they didn't really have. You know, I just...
Yeah. It didn't offend me like some of the other reviews I've heard, but like, just leave the thing alone. You know? Yeah.
There's speaking certain of the, things speaking that should be untouched.
Speaking of The Thing,
Ramona Flowers is in it, though, so she's pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
You need to plug something here, Joey.
What?
Thing? Commentary?
Yeah, we've talked about
it. Oh, yeah, you guys did a commentary for The Thing.
And I wasn't there.
We mentioned everything we've done in a past podcast. We'll be pausing every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we did a commentary on The Thing.
Oh, speaking of Ramona Flowers, we did a Scott Pilgrim podcast a couple
2 years
ago.
Okay.
How about Paranormal Activity 3, guys?
I didn't see it, but I just wanted to mention that I'm actually a pretty big fan of the series.
So, I saw it.
No spoilers.
No spoilers, no. It's just... It kind of ties things up, but at the same time, it makes a million more questions. It answers a handful of your questions, and then gives you a whole new plate of questions.
What I've liked about this is, like, the timeline is actually going backwards with these movies, and from what I understand, it does a pretty good job of doing that, so...
Yeah, I haven't actually seen any of these films. I kind of want to, though.
They're really slow-paced, but, you know, there's stuff there to enjoy. I like it. Yeah.
I kind of like the idea that these horror films are doing a lot with a little, which is a very classic way of doing horror films.
Oh, the first movie was like made on no budget at all. It really shows. I think that kind of helps it a little bit. About the first movie, I heard that Steven Spielberg, you know, got to see a test of it. And he said, you know, this ending needs a little bit more work. So he threw like $10,000 at him so they can spruce up the ending a little bit. So
that's pretty cool.
He also, when he test watched it, he gave it back to them in a black plastic bag because he swears up and down that movie was possessed.
That's great.
Because, like he said, when he went in to go and like preview it in there, he said that his doors locked automatically.
That's just disturbing.
Like, the doors in his house locked automatically, and like he was like, oh. Nope, I'm out of here.
In right. Time.
I don't even know what that movie is.
I don't know.
That's kind of a neat premise. It's like
I plan on seeing it with my wife like tomorrow, but it's about.
Yeah, we don't have to explain it.
Oh,
moving on. Okay. Puss in Boots. Surprisingly, pretty good.
Yeah, it was actually pretty surprising. I was expecting this to be panned by critics.
Do you see it? Or?
No, I didn't see it.
Okay. So, rental for me.
All right. Immortals, that movie was, I saw it with my brother and my dad. It was okay. It's no 300, if you ask me. It's just kind of trying to ride on the coattails of those, like, those classic, you know, bloody...
Not like a Clash of the Titans. It just wasn't really memorable.
Yeah. I mean, quite frankly, there's really not much to it.
I put Jack and Jill on here because
it's
awful. Geez, good Lord.
What, Adam Sandler, what the hell happened to you?
I recommend everyone goes to Red Letter Media and watch their Jack and Jill review, quote unquote, and it's pretty great.
I'm looking forward to the Riff Tracks version of Jack and Jill.
Happy Feet 2, I didn't see. I heard it was all right.
It was a shame because the first one was fantastic, and they had to just kind of sully the first one with this terrible sequel.
The first one was pretty good. I liked it.
Yeah, the first one was fantastic.
I don't know why Mumble still has fur on him when he's supposed to
pop up. That's the thing. Like, I don't know. There's like some genetic mutation going on there. Yeah, it's so freaky.
They got away with it in the first movie just because they said he hatched late. But yeah, this one, there's no excuse.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you want to say about Twilight?
There's only one thing I have to say about Twilight, and that's the only way I'd ever read those books is to read them backwards, because by the end of the story, they're not together anymore and she moves away.
This movie just seems insulting from what I've heard about it.
The less said about the Twilight fandom, the better.
Like, even people that watched the other movies and liked it just because how stupid they were and make fun of it, they even watched this movie and went, this movie's just horrid.
There are no words.
I can't say much about it because seen these movies, honestly, but everything I've heard about it is, yeah.
Well, honestly, guys, and I'm not just saying this because, there may be people who get kind of pissed off about what we're saying. But to be fair, the films and the books aren't aimed at our demographic.
True.
Yeah, that's very true.
So, like, we may think they're steaming piles of crap and we'd like to make fun of them.
Well, no, even beyond that, like, I have no opinion of the other movies, what I've heard. This one, from all the, like, baby vampire stuff and the way Bella treats everyone and the reaction to everyone else about this and that and the other and Edward being afraid she's going to hurt Bella and then beats the crap out of her when they're doing it. It just seems bad. Like, why they split this movie up, it just seems like it's just a...
It's trying to do what Harry Potter did and make more money.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, well,
there's probably not going to be a Breaking Dawn Part 2 if there is a...
Of course there is. Of course they already filmed it. Of course it's going to come out. What are you talking about?
This movie made like $700 million at the box office.
Did you just say there's not going to be a Breaking Dawn Part 2?
Maybe
in like a wonderful parallel universe where dreams come true, but not in this one.
So I saw an interesting comparison on the internet. It had a picture of a couple of the first few scenes in Up, where the old man is with his... his wife and stuff like that. And it said, Pixar made a better love story in 8 minutes than Twilight did in 4 books.
I saw that, actually.
And I agree. That's probably true.
Moving on, any of you see The Muppets?
I saw that movie, and I loved that movie.
I want to see this so bad.
That is one of my favorite movies of 2011. I can't get those songs out of my head.
Me and Dustin missed it, but we kind of heard after the fact that it was really good.
It's fantastic. Go see it. Yep. It's got. I'm not going to spoil anything for you guys, but it has one of the best cameos I've ever seen.
That's like 1,000 cameos from
what I know, but there's one specific cameo that is absolutely fantastic in this movie. Like, you can't miss it. It is like you will love it.
The Muppets are back, people.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's cool that the Muppets were able to make a comeback.
Yep.
I saw Mission Impossible 4 Ghost Protocol last weekend. I was very surprised how cool it was.
It was fantastic. It is actually my favorite Mission Impossible right now.
I still haven't seen any of the Mission Impossibles aside from the original.
Yeah, like, really? I don't really remember much about the other ones. I had to rewatch them because it'd been so long. But I remember Part 3 being really good too. But yeah, like, this movie's a lot of practical effects. Brad Bird directs. This is his first live action film. He gets it. Has really cool action. It has one of the best action scenes I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
On the tower.
I thought that was fantastic. Yeah. I was like, I don't think I've ever watched a movie and actually felt vertigo while watching a movie. This movie made me feel vertigo.
Oh yeah, I wish I'd seen this in IMAX. That scene would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Tom Cruise is on age.
I think Tom Cruise might be immortal.
Maybe. I don't know, but like, I think him, Leonardo DiCaprio, and just maybe a couple other actors, I think they've discovered the Fountain of Youth and they're just not telling us.
What do you think of it, Randy?
I haven't seen quite yet, but I kind of want to.
Okay, it's really good. I think the fact that they make these movies like 4 and 5 years apart from each other really helps, because this is the fourth movie in this series, and it's just as fresh as it ever was.
Yeah. Let me ask you, do you think that they're going to make, as far as Mission Impossible is concerned, do you think that it's going to turn into like the 007 series where, you know, there's going to come to a point where Tom Cruise just doesn't want to do it anymore, so they're actually going to get somebody else to do
it? I think Tom Cruise likes doing these movies.
Well, I know, but I think, like, there's going to be a point where he gets too old to do it, and they're just going to keep on making, like, a bunch of these.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Like, they'll have another James Bond, or yeah. Another Ethan Hunt, and be kind of like almost like a reboot. I think they introduced another character just so there's another one.
Yeah, just in case he never wants to do one again.
Yeah, they have another action guy to do stuff. And Simon Pegg was really good in this movie. I liked it.
We're getting near the end, so let's.
Yeah, let's go on.
All right, this is like this next one here, Tintin. That movie was a very good animated movie, if you ask me. I mean. I expect it to be a little better, but as far as animated movies are concerned, I think this might be another contender for best animated film this year.
I initially had no interest in seeing this, but I was like, everybody keeps telling me, yeah, this is good. Give it a chance. It's really good.
It's kind of like a Indiana Jones type adventure.
I've specifically heard people compare it to Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That was the best one.
Yeah.
So
it's a good movie.
I thought the style they went with was weird. It's like it's not quite real. It's not quite cartoon. It's like this weird middle ground. I don't know. Sherlock Holmes 2, I actually heard, was disappointing.
I saw it. It was actually, you know, I liked it. I didn't think it was as good as the first one, but I do think that it was a very decent sequel as far as sequels are concerned.
I kind of got the impression that they never really expected to make another one. It's like, wow, this movie actually made money and people like
it. I mean, I really don't know what they're going to do for the third film, but I mean, you
apparently
know,
it just, didn't do that well at the box office. So.
Yeah, it was actually, I was really surprised by that. I was expecting it to do better than the first one. Because all my friends were like, oh, I'm totally seeing this movie because, you know, they were obsessed with Robert Downey Jr. playing Sherlock Holmes. And I thought it was a good movie. I don't really think
I was surprised at the first one where. Like I was kind of expecting it to be kind of Tony Stark-ish a little bit, but it's not.
Yeah. Also, I was really disappointed by the lack of screen time of Rachel McAdams.
Okay, I don't know who that is.
Because she played Irene Adler in the first film. I was kind of disappointed by that, but that's just me. But
okay.
They made a third Alvin and the Chipmunks movie.
Okay.
Oh God!
I understand.
Why?
No one in this movie looked happy to be there.
Okay. There's only one thing you need to keep in mind. It's just the one thing Alvin said in that movie. Don't hate the player, hate the game.
And on that low note.
So that was the Nerdy Movies 2011. I have the top 10 top grossing movies, if you guys want to run through that.
As of December 13th.
Yeah, which is basically not going to change. But number one was Harry Potter, which is
yep.
Cool. Number two is Transformers.
I was surprised that it got so much.
Transformers? Yeah, people love those. Pirates of the Caribbean was number three. Made over $1 billion. I was really surprised by that because I didn't think the quality was there to make a $1 billion movie. But
it's the 3D. It's like the inflation from 3D.
Less people are seeing 3D though. You know?
Are you sure about that? Because I mean, I don't know. I just feel like. I definitely think a lot of these ticket price, like it's a lot to do with the ticket prices of 3D.
I saw Pirates in 3D, and there was only one scene that I thought that benefited from it.
Yeah.
That was the mermaid.
Moving on.
Mermaid. Yeah, but just look at it. All of these films, like in the top five, are 3D, or were released in 3D.
Okay.
Guys, we get.
Then going. Kung Fu Panda, then Twilight, Fast Five, Hangover Part 2, The Smurfs, Cars 2, and Rio. So.
Yeah.
Oh, I would like to mention The Hangover Part 2 is basically The Hangover.
That's what I heard.
The plot is exactly the same. If you like the first one, you'll like the second one, but you'll be like, why'd you make the second one exactly like the first?
So, you guys' favorite movie of the year. I'll start with mine. I already said Rise of the Planet of the Apes was my favorite movie. Probably followed by X-Men. And then probably Captain America. I think. So, that's my top three. How about you, Dustin?
Top one would probably be Captain America, then X-Men First Class, and in third place is Hobo with a Shotgun.
Randy, how about you?
You know, honestly, it's going to be Captain America, Real Steel, and I think X-Men First Class.
A lot of love for Captain America and X-Men. I think X-Men was one of the biggest surprises that it was actually as good as it is.
Yeah.
Because just they kind of, like, after X-3 and Wolverine were critical failures. It's like, hey, check it out, First Class. Rich?
I think my favorite is going to be Super 8, followed by Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, and then The Muppets.
Hmm. I'll probably put Harry Potter higher, but it was, like, there's been eight Harry Potter movies, so it's like, you know, been there, done that a little bit.
That's true.
But
before we go, guys, I was going to ask you, like, as far, because I know we did this last time, what are the movies you're looking forward to for 2012? I mean, we can
there's
just
only one it. Answer. There's two answers to that question, and everyone should have the same one.
And yeah,
that is The Avengers and Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, yeah. And The Hobbit.
Is Hobbit next year?
Yeah, Hobbit's coming out December of 2012.
Okay, I'm looking forward.
So, wait, is it before or after the end of the world?
It's like Christmas next year.
Hobbit. It's coming out like right at the time of the end of the world.
So the last thing...
This is potentially our final Nerdy Movies review podcast, depending on what happens December 21st.
Our next podcast, there's going to be Hellfire and earthquakes and raptures going all around us. It'll be the best podcast ever.
So I hope you guys enjoyed the penultimate Nerdy Movies review podcast. I think as far as my favorite films coming up for 2012, I'm definitely looking forward to Dark Knight Rises, The Hobbit, and Prometheus.
Oh yeah, Prometheus is going to be interesting because I think it is an alien in the Alien universe, but they're not really playing it up.
Oh, you know what movie we forgot to mention?
What? Which one?
Hugo.
I heard good things about that. I didn't even bother seeing that movie.
I heard it was really good. I don't even really know what it's about, but I think it really fit the nerdy movie.
Actually, didn't it steampunk? Which clearly fits in with the under the heading of nerdy.
Well, like I said, I have no idea what it was about. I know that the kid in it is going to be Ender in Ender's Game. So.
Oh,
cool.
Ender Game is the next year. I guess that's 2013.
Yeah. Mm. Maybe for the
I hope that's good. That's my favorite book. Hope they don't mess that up.
So yeah, I know they're making a new what is it? Underworld. They're making a new Underworld and this
Oh god, why?
And then let's see. Oh, they're making G.I. Joe only this time with The Rock. I can't take that guy seriously anymore.
I saw a trailer for that. It, I don't know. It looked neat, but yeah. It's a trailer, so they show the best parts.
Yeah. Oh, and then The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I don't know. That could either be really good or really bad, honestly.
They could Batman Begin it up and make it better, or Incredible Hulk and make it better than it was.
That's true. Oh, and then coming out.
I think Man of Steel is 2013.
Let's see, is it? Yeah. Because on this list I have here for films, doesn't have that. Oh my gosh, World War Z is coming out the 12th of December.
Oh yes, oh we gotta go see that.
I am seeing that, and it's gonna be amazing.
Because that book is awesome.
Yes.
Star Trek sequel next year? I don't think they even started filming.
No, it's coming out 2013. They're actually starting, the filming starts January.
Yeah. Battleship comes out next year.
I can't wait for
prediction. I bet that movie is going to be a lot of fun. But what the heck, Battleship?
I gotta tell you, when I saw that trailer in theaters because it came out with right.
The trailer's great.
It came out right before Cowboys and Aliens, and we're looking at this trailer. We're just laughing it up because you know it's just ridiculous.
The pegs and the pegs going align. It's great, and they zoom out, and it's the grid.
And I was like, dude, this has got to be like a movie trailer for Battleship. And I was just joking. And then the screen shows Battleship.
They're making an Asteroids movie, too.
Angry Birds the movie.
That's happening.
I think I'm pretty sure they are making Angry Birds.
Oh, and then Ice Age Continental Drift. I'm looking forward to the sequel after Ice Age Continental Drift. Ice Age Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
I liked Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
They're making a sequel to that.
Oh, nice.
How?
I think the Lorax comes out next year.
Oh yeah, that's one. That's another one. Oh, and another one that I want to bring up: The Expendables 2, that has Chuck Norris in it.
Awesome.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I'm excited for that.
Brave comes out next year. Come on, Pixar.
Yeah, let's get back to form.
Well, guys, I gotta go. All right, thanks for joining us.
See
you, Justin. So I figured this would be a good time to wrap it up, you know?
Yeah.
You know, wish everybody a good, happy year, happy, safe New Year's. You know, we'll try to make some more podcasts throughout the year.
That's true.
We've had a pretty good track record with podcasts and
comics. Have fun, guys.
Contact us, you know, josephlfrog@gmail.com. We're all on Twitter and Facebook. Joey has the list up on his live journal, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'd like comments, questions, emails.
At all. We don't get any of that.
Yeah. We'd like some.
Occasionally we'll get a comment or an email, but
I think if we actually read the comments on the podcast, they'd be more encouraged to actually send emails.
I try to get people involved, but no one bites. It's really weird.
Dude, it's like it took me
with our cartoon stuff.
With my podcast, it took me like 5 months before someone sent me an email. Like one email. So
I asked Twitter, said, "What's some of your favorite nerdy movies?" No one answered. How depressing. Thanks
a lot. You know what we should probably do?
What?
The popular trend that's going on for some people, I think, is we put the podcast on YouTube and put pictures on it. Because people find pretty pictures to be more accessible.
Hey, but if we put it on... Hey, we could always put it on Blip.
We could do that. Okay, before we go, guys, I just have one question for you. Do you have any New Year's resolutions?
I'm going to lose weight.
To end this podcast.
I'm going to try and wash dishes more.
I am going to write a book.
Really?
Well, I'm going to write the makings of a book.
I'm going to write the cover.
I'm going to draw the cover.
The summary.
No, actually, I got a good story on my hands right now, so we'll see where this takes me.
I might try to write
this short story idea that I had. That's been brewing in my head.
Hey, you could always try to do next year's NaNoWriMo.
Oh.
Interesting.
I'll tell you about it later, Joey.
Okay.
All right.
See everyone.
Later, adios, guys. I will see you around, and I'll make jokes at your expense.
Oh, thanks, Kevin. It's a lot of fun.
Enjoy your YouTubes and make good choices.
All right. Later on.
If I do it, don't do it.
Everyone quiet.
Okay, I'm hanging up now.
Click.